Hey, welcome everybody. This is Janet Foster and welcome to the Janet Foster Show. This is our first show of the year, new year, and we are so glad to be back. And just like before, we're going to keep bringing it to you, bringing you, real talk for real action. And right now you can get social with me on Twitter at Janet D. Foster and on Instagram at Janet D. Foster. And of course on Facebook at Janet Foster. And I'll actually be taking your live tweets right now. So you are listening to We Play Radio, and as a part of the We Play Radio family, we are a very unique collective, and we're so happy to be here and to kick off this year. And what I want to do is kind of talk about today's topic. It's something that, it started to really heat up in 2015, and unfortunately, it seems to still be one of those things that's going to be with us here in 2016, and it's something that seems to be picking up steam. It is an election year, and I also know, too, that I'm competing with the State of the Union address, but here in Los Angeles, we're in a different time zone, so people are in their cars, and we can do it a little bit differently here. But the issue that I want to talk about specifically is addressing police brutality. And here in LA, just 24 hours ago, Chief Police Beck actually recommended an officer be charged, be brought up on charges for his excessive use with a homeless gentleman down in Venice. And for those of us locally here, we know about that case. And for a lot of our national listeners, this is a first. The ripple effect, we wonder how what's happened here in Los Angeles is going to play out across the country, because the way we've seen a lot of these cases has been that a lot of these officers, some of them have had discipline issues, that they've actually been allowed to continue to do their jobs with either no disciplinary action or just a brief, I'd say a brief suspension of a couple of days, and then back on the force. And there doesn't seem to be some kind of accountability. And Chief Beck's recommendation, he's not saying let's go ahead and do it, but it's definitely something that's very, very, very different, has never happened here in Los Angeles, and it doesn't appear to be happening across the country. And, when we think about what's going on in law enforcement, how there are two sets of rules and how people are being treated differently, you can see what's happening just right up the way in Oregon, how we've got trespassers on federal land where they have been treated completely different than any other set of protesters. In Oregon, they're armed protesters, whereas with the Occupy Wall Street movement, they were unarmed. And also with Black Lives Matter, they were unarmed. But individuals in those particular gatherings were accosted, where you have a band of men. I know the country has been quite looking at this from a humorous perspective with these individuals. But these individuals basically took over a bird sanctuary with guns, and they've been treated beyond polite to be trespassers. And then you have situations like in Chicago, which keep escalating by day as more information comes out, not only as part of a cover-up, but when you hear about the excessive force that a teenager withstood, who basically had a knife as he was walking away from an officer, and he took 16 shots, that's a little disturbing. And then just in a couple of weeks, the Tamir Rice incident, where the grand jury decided not to charge the officer for killing a 12-year-old. And then you think about incidents like this, and you just wonder, these are just the cases that we know about. We have individuals in this country that have known things like this that have been going on for decades. And now that we're in the age of social media, it seems that people are able to offer proof. And it just doesn't seem to, it just doesn't seem to change. And I think a lot of the debate stems from either they look at these incidents, because it's vogue right now to basically victimize the victims, and also to cast stereotypical judgment on individuals, in these incidents, whether they are committing a crime or not. The expectation is that a police officer is to be properly trained, and not only properly trained, but be professional at their job. And what we're finding is not only in the case of a lot of officers, that they have a history of not being very professional, and also not being very stable. And a lot of the cases that we have had have been incidents where a lot of the interactions have been race-based. The controversial the controversial procedure that a lot of police officers, a lot of police departments employ is what they call the broken window type approach, where basically they're profiling people. And in the 90s, it was a big thing where black and brown, particularly individuals, were profiled more than anyone. And I believe that there's become some kind of complacency in the sense of with law enforcement now, where there's a lack of professionalism and lack of accountability with officers. And you see just this past fall where even prominent individuals like tennis star James Blake was profiled in New York City by a New York City police officer. And, we have another prominent African-American who's our guest today, a celebrated musician, Reggie Pace. Just a little bit about Reggie. He's a co-founder of a band called No BS Brass. And, when you talk about not only a prominent individual, but you talk about productive individual and someone who's known. I mean, if you have taste, real taste in music, you know who Reggie Pace is. You are very familiar with his band. You know that his band has played in the Kennedy Center. I mean, you think about Saturday Night Live when you think of them. You also think of Reggie being profiled in a good way in the entertainment industry as a musician, as I think of the 40 under 40. And, this is a very articulate, very productive gentleman. And he basically had a situation with law enforcement, just like anyone else. And what we wanted to do today, and we wanted to talk about that and just kind of get his perspective, because a lot of you have been giving me feedback a lot about, there are criminals, and I don't think you really understand how pervasive sometimes in some areas of the country of how racial profiling works. And when you have someone who is of prominence, it definitely will open your eyes. And also, I think we have to stick to the main theme is that law enforcement needs to be professional. And Reggie, are you here? Are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Reggie. I just wanted to kind of tee up and introduce you to our audience. We've got some of our audience members who are very young millennials, 18 and 19 year old, and they're very diverse. And then Gen Xers, we have quite a few Gen Xers who know who you are. And I just wanted to thank you for joining me. And I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit and have you share with us your experience and just talk about how you felt when, this happened, because we have a lot of listeners who sometimes they just don't know. We have a lot of people when someone close to them hasn't experienced something, they really can't, they can't wrap their mind around it. And I'd really appreciate it if you could just share some thoughts with us.
Oh, sure. I mean, I can just tell you, I can just walk you through it, and then it will kind of paint a picture of what it's like.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I just, like, walked out of my door, headed to the store, and it was dark, and I had turned just left to get out of my apartment onto my main street, and half a block away, a police officer came up and, like, was creeping beside me just as I was walking. And I looked over at him, then I kept walking because I'm just, I just got out of my house. And then he turns the lights on, gets out of his car, asks me for my ID, and says, I'm stopping you because you wouldn't make direct eye contact with me.
Wow.
And, like, you have a shifty look, like, you looked at me and you looked down, and that's why, don't you think that would seem a little suspicious?
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay, let's get through this. So, you know, I give him my ID, and then, like, another cop comes and comes with him, and that cop gets out of his car also, and so stands beside him. And he takes my ID, and he's like, well, we got a call saying someone was looking suspicious in a dark coat, which is two different things now in the dark.
Right.
Like, the reason why he was stopping me from walking. And, you know, and I'm also, I can still see my apartment from where I am. So he takes my ID, writes something down, and he goes, you know, it's just dark and we just have to respond to these calls. And then as he's saying that, another cop comes up from the other side, and two police officers get out of their car also, which is really weird. So I'm, like, surrounded in a circle. I think there might have been another one in his car, but there was, like, four of them out in the street, like, and surrounded in a circle. And everything about it just made me completely terrified. And just even when he asked me for my ID, I was like, oh, man, it's cold, you know, so I have a jacket on, and I'm worried, like, I'm going to have to stick my hand in this jacket to get my wallet. And, you know, there's already been incidents in which that's been enough to be like, oh, whatever, you know.
Right.
So I was, you know, it's just terrifying. So I give him my ID. He just, like, eventually just talks around in circles for a while. He gets cute for a second. He's just like, we're police officers. We don't hurt people. We don't bite. Like, you're really just being kind of weird. And then, you know, they tell me to leave, but they don't leave. They make me just, like, walk through where they are. And it's just, like, I was just so happy that, you know, it was fine, because those situations can turn south so quickly. You know what I mean? You never
right.
know what's going on, or if someone's going to try to rile you up, or, you know, or whatever. So I just felt really, what's the word? I was just happy that fine. I left, and I, like, put it on Facebook that it happened.
And
all my friends were just like, what?
Yeah, so like, basically, you,
really bizarre,
you know? You were stopped walking. You literally walking.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, you bring up a point about when you were reaching into your pocket. When you were doing that, was there just one officer there or two, or did the whole three, were the whole three there?
There were just two of them there at that point.
Two. And is this a small town?
Came after that. What's that?
Is this a small town you're in?
It's not that small. You know, this is normal. So, you know, Richmond, Virginia is not that small.
It's not rural. It's not rural.
Definitely not. It's
okay.
A city.
Okay.
For sure.
Because, and the reason why I ask that, because sometimes they're in a lot of these incidents, there's a lot of the opposition. When I say opposition, I'm talking about people who actually think that this isn't. This isn't a problem. There are people who think, well, in urban areas, people have to be aggressive, or in smaller cities, this doesn't happen. And where you're located in Virginia, it's a moderate-sized city. It's not It's not like Mayberry RFD, where you've got Barney Fife running around. So it's not that country, but at the same time, it's not New York City. But it's a good moderate size where you've got diversity and you've got taxpayers who basically are paying to have a professional, police force. And I do know in your particular area, a college student also had an issue too, and an honor student at that. And, you know, and I think about what you just described, because you were just basically walking, which means you probably have a neighbor in your area that may not know who you are. But for some reason, I kind of don't think that that was probably it. It was...
I mean, it was like, you know, 2 minutes after leaving, they don't respond that fast. This is impossible. It's like, if that call was real, it wasn't about me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they were just searching. But I don't know. It's just really bizarre to feel nervous just in general walking around on the streets. You know what I mean? And I understand that feeling. And everyone kind of understands that feeling of like, if you're walking on a dark street and it just feels a little unsafe. But it's weird for that feeling to be coming from the ones you would supposedly call when something was actually unsafe.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's almost like, you know, you should feel the complete opposite with the police. And you... And the fact, though, that he said that you didn't give him eye contact, that's kind of messed up. And that comes, there's nothing professional about that and about reasoning that or trying to justify that. And, you know, when you describe the ID thing, for some reason, I went back to... I think it was the movie Higher Learning, the John Singleton movie Ice Cube. Where's your ID? I don't know why I thought of that. I don't know. I don't know, because that and here in LA, that is a typical thing. And some people, as they you know, give you your ID, they ask for your references too. And I just thought, you know, the guy just said that you didn't give him eye contact. And then he wanted to see your ID. And then as the other officers came in, because this is what's confusing to me, because it's obviously you were not a threat. No one drew a weapon on you or anything like that.
No. They were just standing, like, waiting, you know, a couple of hands on the hips. Like, but that's how they normally stand.
Okay. Okay. Like, okay. And
it's just so, like, menacing for... him not to have wanted anything specifically.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like checking to see. And I just don't feel like that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I also don't
feel like it's all police officers. It just seems to be, since there's no, like you were talking about accountability, it's really hard on the outside to know who to trust. You know what I mean? I'm sure there are really great police officers out there. But it's just tough to know what you're going to get, you know what I mean? Because
yes,
it's just happening a lot.